Blog Talk Radio.
I know. Hey, you guys, welcome to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. And what time is it over? What time is it overseas? I don't know. I might have to look at the world clock because we do get individuals who do chime in from other countries from time to time, like Singapore and the UK and stuff like that. So I'm going to shout out your time zone and see if you're listening in. Today's date is July the 29th, 2023. We're about to go into August. And you know one thing we know for sure? It's hot. Woo! I mean, I'm going to be honest. I avoid going outdoors at all costs. I mean, if I have no reason to go outside, I'm not going outside. I'm staying indoors. They say there's a heat dome over the United States, and I think they're right. You know, if I'm going to believe the weatherman now, the only thing I'm going to believe him saying is that it's hot. I'm not going to believe when he says it's going to rain or not rain. I'm not going to believe when he says all the other stuff that they say. But when they say it's hot, they're on point. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. In fact, this month, according to the people who keep records of the heat index and all that stuff and humidity and you know, so on and so forth, this is the hottest July in history. Probably the hottest, the hottest month in history.
They're right.
They're definitely right. It is hot. Probably the hottest ever recorded when they started recording back in the 19-whatever. I have to look that up so I can make sure I get the information right. You know, I have to be politically correct when I say things. You know, everybody has to be politically correct when you say things. But they say this is the hottest in history. And the thing is where when they talk about climate change or anything else, they say, oh, you know, some folks say, oh, there's no such thing as that. Well, what the hell you think is going on right now? There's something going on. And, you know, and the sad part about it to me is that, unfortunately, there's people who don't believe in science, don't believe in people who went to school to study things about the planet, who do their research about things. And there's folks who are saying, it's just a lie. It's fake news. That's become a real big thing. Huh? Everything's fake news. I don't think scientists are lying in the way that they're being, in the way that they're saying that they are. Oh, by the way, I have to say this, is that, if you guys tune in and hear the theme song of the show, yes, that is called Conversation Piece. And former member of Ozone, Mr. Joe Foxworth, wrote that song, and he gave it to me to be the theme song. A lot of folks say, well, it's too long for a theme song for a show. No, it gives you time to actually, you know, get yourself together, tune in to the show. And I think it's a pretty cool piece. Now, I've been using it for a couple of years now, so, I'm going to keep using it. I see also that there's people popping up on the chat room, and so you're welcome to post your questions or comments as we get into the show. So we do have some great topics coming up, and we have a special guest in our second hour. You know, we've had a lot of great guests on this show, from doctors to lawyers to police officers to music icons. So we've been blessed for many years to have that, what we like to call a variety show, and that's what we'll keep it, you know, that way. But without further ado, let me open up the microphone to my co-host here in the ATL. It's the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, happy Saturday, Janet. How you doing?
Okay. How are you? I'm doing okay. A lot going on, but
You didn't sound too happy, but hopefully everything will work.
Yeah.
Normally you're a little bit more excited, but I guess right now it's a lot going on, as you just said.
I told you I had death in the family. A niece died. Yeah. And she was really young. She was only 27.
Really?
And she had an 8-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really sorry to hear that. Was it unexpected, or if you want to share?
Unexpected.
Really? Health issue or something else?
I don't know. They're doing an autopsy.
Okay.
Just had a baby. Baby was 8 months old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, definitely prayers out to you and the family.
There's a lot of people coming in from out of town, so I'll probably be a couple minutes after 8, I'll be signing off. Just wanted to let you know ahead of time.
Okay, well, that's understandable. Okay. All right. Well.
So how you doing tonight? I tried calling you more than one time.
You did? I called you back. But I did call you back. I thought I did. But, okay, so can I open up all the mics of the co-hosts first? And I thought I called you back. Okay. All right, so let me go ahead and open up another mic of another co-host. I really appreciate this gentleman because he's in the City of Angels. You can check him out on Tribar. Yeah, it's a comedy show. You know, it's not a bunch of cussing, but it's funny as hell. Yes, hell is not a cuss word. Okay, had I said the SH word now, see, that would have been cussing. But anyway, I'm going to open up the mic to the one and only Mr. Tymon Michael. There you go. You open up a can of worms. Chill.
Hey,
what's up, my
Tom.
Brother? Hey, I'll go with Janet. How you doing there, Mike? Yes.
I'm doing.
Sorry to hear about your relative there, Janet.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's tough out there. It is. Young folks, everybody going through stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you don't realize exactly what happened, you know? It just was something all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, yeah. And that's the bad part, like you said. But, and, you know, we come across this a lot of where when you don't have all the information, you don't want to put out false information, right? And unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that does happen. But you're in the blind, you know, because you don't know. And like you said, there's an that the family has looked at having an autopsy, because to me that clearly says that there's no sign of anything. What is the term I'm looking for? Foul play.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, there's nothing in foul play at the moment, so you know that's visible, but. Yeah, you know, keep us posted, and like I said, our prayers go out to you and the family, and I wouldn't really expect you to come on the show, to be honest, because I know you normally would let me know, hey, look, Mike, I'm not going to be able to make it, but, you know, I do appreciate you, you know, doing all you do, and I just pray that it's no foul play whatsoever. At all. That is just an unfortunate death. You know, a health thing or something that might have been some kind of complication that happened down the road and just wasn't seen. So my blessings to you.
I'll probably find something out after the show because I have to call back. Couldn't talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Our blessings to you. Also, I have a 205. Now, today we're going to have a lot of people chiming in from the 205 area code. All right, and if you guys that are listening, it's pretty much going to be a Birmingham or a Hoover or a whatever part of Alabama. Call in, right? Because our special guest who's going to join us in the second hour, who's the CEO of a brand there. I don't want to spoil it, you know, but you guys know that's coming up in the second hour. So bear with us in the first hour as we go ahead and do what we normally do, because we have other topics. The stories we want to talk about, and you know I definitely want to get you guys' opinions and thoughts about them. And thanks to Janet Davis here. She does a lot of the research of the topics that we talk about here on the show. I see 205-706 is on the board, and they wave their hand. So I'm going to go ahead and open up their hand, open up their line and say hello to them. Thank you for waving in early. How you doing? What's your name? And I'm not going to ask where you're calling from because I already know. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. This is Nadia Jones representing Nightlife Outlaws.
Oh,
okay.
Hi, Nadia. How you doing? Thank you. I heard you were tuned in last week.
I was.
Am I right? Was it you who was tuned in? Okay, fantastic. Thank you for supporting and chiming in to the show. All right. How are things over there in Birmingham?
Everything is well. We just finished a back-to-school giveaway on today.
Oh, wonderful.
Fantastic. You know, that's going on in a lot of places, the back-to-school giveaway. But let me tell you all something. I work for Walmart, okay? Yes, I do have a regular job. I don't make money off of this here, okay? And I'm in charge of certain departments, which includes the what they call the seasonal area, which is part of back to school. Let me tell you, I don't hate people, but oh Lord, I surely dislike what they do. You got people who come in and pick up crap and you're standing right there, and they'll look at it, and then they'll throw it over onto another shelf. Folks, please, make my job easier. Don't just grab something that you don't want. And don't let your kids run around and grab it, anything they see. Please. I know back to school is almost over with. But, oh, my God, it's a madhouse. It's truly a madhouse. You know, so, you know, if you're shopping for your child, tell your kid. It's a funny comedy skit that, what's his name? He used to be real big, but he lost all that weight. And, Timon, you should know who I'm talking about. He used to be really big. He was on BET a lot. He always joked about his size, but he really lost a lot of weight. He's been known. What is his name? I can see his face. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, he has a skit that is so hilarious about when you take your kids into the grocery store. Speech you got to give them. I have to think of his name, but I'm going to bring that up. But that's what every parent should still be allowed to do.
I used to give the speech.
Okay.
I know what you
say.
No, not you, Janet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't catch anything.
What?
That's right.
Don't look at nothing. Don't ask for nothing. And if you hit my shin with that grocery cart, you're going to get two chops to the neck.
I got to tell you a quick story. We were in this expensive department store, and I had told my children, do not touch anything. So I took a blouse off the rack, and I turned to show my sister the blouse. They hit the floor like it was an air raid, and I could not get my kids back up. It was embarrassing. They were all in there, pulled their hands over their head. Yeah, I was like, Lord have mercy.
LaBelle Crawford, that's his name. If you get a chance to pull up this comedy skit that he does, it is so hilarious. Your stomach will hurt. I'm serious. Your stomach will hurt. You will be breathless. Because it's so funny, the skit he has where he's, you know, where he's imitating his mother, telling them what they can and cannot do and don't do. It's a long speech, and all of a sudden he says, now repeat what I just said.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I used to say the same thing.
Repeat what I just said. And she has some cuss words in what she said, and then when the kid gets to that point of where she did the cuss words, she said, say shit. Say it. I dare you. And be like, you said stuff. You have to have a substitution word, right? Okay, so anyway, let's get to our topics because I don't want to use up all of our time here because, as you guys know, time flies here on the TMGS. Janet, the topic we want to get to, and of course we want to go over our political stuff first. Let me take a look here. And I'm sorry, I was texting some individuals about the show, so my listening kind of changed here, so I have to scroll. So give me a minute when I can find the – well, what was the first one that we're going to look at?
Hold on. I think it might have been about LeBron James.
No, I want to do the politics first. Let's get the politics first. What happened in the political arena first. And while we look that up, give me a second here. Sorry, everyone. Hold tight.
Well, the first one you wanted to talk about was Biden with signing the Emmett Till National Monument.
You got that? Yeah. Please go ahead and share that with everyone, please, because that's interesting when you look at, you know, the movie came out, the earlier part of this year, right? And the Biden administration, as you just said, just did this, you know, unprecedented move, I guess. That's what you could call it. Can you read that off?
Yeah, I'll read it. But one of the reasons why Biden did it, he said, is because people were using the plaque that was in their hometown like it was target practice, putting bullet holes all in it. And, you know, so they, now by it being a national monument, they can't, they're not supposed to do anything to it. So anyway.
Because you can go
President,
to jail for that. Right, right. You can go to jail, is what Biden said. And by him doing that, that will be a federal offense, correct?
Right. Yes. So out of pain comes power. Biden establishes Emmett Till Monument. President Joe Biden established the national monument honoring Emmett Till, the black teenager from Chicago whose abduction and killing in Mississippi, this was in 1955, that helped propel civil rights movement, the civil rights movement. A federal proclamation protects three sites in two states. When President Joe Biden signed the proclamation Tuesday, establishing a national monument honoring Emmett Till and his mother, Mamie Till Mobley, it marked the fulfillment of promise Emmett Till's relatives made after his death 68 years ago. The black teenager from Chicago whose abduction, tour killing in Mississippi in 1955 helped propel the civil rights movement and now is an American story, not just a civil rights story, said Emmett's cousin, Reverend Wheeler Parker Jr. It has been quite a journey for me from the darkness to the light, Mr. Parker said during the proclamation's signing ceremony at the White House, attending by dozens, including other family members of Congress and the civil rights leaders. Back then, in the darkness, I could never imagine the moment like this, standing in the light of wisdom, grace, and deliverance, he said. With the stroke of Mr. Biden's pen, the Emmett Till and Mamie Till Mobley National Monument, located across three sites and two states, became federally protected places. Before signing the proclamation, the president said he marveled at the courage of the Till family to have had faith, purpose, and pain. Today, on what would have been Emmett's 82nd birthday, we had another chapter in the story of remembrance and healing, Mr. Biden said.
Okay, so hold that for a second. But hold that for a minute. Hold that for a minute because I want you to continue. But I want you to pause for a second because there's people – and, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, what are people's mindset? Here's the thing that, first of all, when we talk about certain historical things that have happened in America, you know, 9/11, never forget. Don't forget about, you know, the folks when Pearl Harbor was bombed. You know, don't forget about that. Okay, cool. You know, I'm not going to forget about that. That's part of history. Don't forget about, you know, the Jews and what was happening to the Jews, you know, and what Hitler did and blah, 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 or Germany and all that stuff. I get that. But we can't forget about the injustice that happened to black Americans here. Because if you don't know the story about Emmett Till, if you don't know that story, I recommend not just see the movie, but just do your research. Look at the fact that these individuals, these two grown men, murdered a teenage black child for an alleged promise. Tortured him, right. For alleged, a child, not another grown man. This was a 14, 15-year-old child that they tortured first. Not only did they shoot him, they hung him and mutilated his body. Now, I want anybody, I don't care what color you are, imagine what that mother saw. You can see it. There's pictures of it because she demanded the public to see this mutilation of her child.
Couldn't even recognize the body.
But I see where folks, some folks are like, oh, can't you let that go? I mean, that was a long time ago. That was, it doesn't matter how long ago it was. Those two individuals who committed that murder and crime on a child were found not guilty and then had the freaking nerve, after they were found not guilty, to tell you, yes, we did it. And this is how we did it, through Time magazine. But, you know, you can't try a person twice. Nope. You can't try a person twice. Is that injustice? Damn right. Now, the woman who made the claim, she dead now. Am I right?
She's right, dead. But she even said that she didn't tell the truth.
Correct. So she was an accomplice to a murder. And as you all know, that once it was a questioning about it and just, you know, prior to her death, you know, is that a situation of where it's, you know, like where, what is it? Well, when it comes to murder, there's no statute of limitations. And it doesn't matter if you are the person who actually committed the crime or if you were an accomplice. There's no statute of limitation in murder. But she was able to live her life. Emmett Till didn't.
Right.
Mamie Till went to her grave realizing there will be no justice for the murder of her child.
Now, Mike.
Go ahead, sir.
So actually you had, now Emmett Till died in 1955, right?
Mm-hmm.
Emmett Till was tortured, lynched, and beaten, and they threw in their ties and sent the blocks around and threw them in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But George Steeney died in 1944. He was the first 14-year-old to be electrocuted in an electric chair. Murder that he didn't commit. And that was in 1944.
Okay. 40,
and,
right.
Yeah. And this dude died. So I bring that up to say the reason why you can't discuss history, because it shows the savagery of the white man. It
mm-hmm.
shows the savagery of what this country, I'll tell you this, from 1876, about a good, I think either 1950 or 1960, they lynched over 5,000 black people that they know of. Lynched. Which is the reason why you had to go and create an anti-lynching law. You know, Emmett was 14.
Mm-hmm.
George Steiny was 14. And all it took, anything that was going against, they would say a white woman, whatever. And everything usually is connected, to economic jealousy also. So there's a lot of, at the time of the African-Americans making progress, and the reason why I brought up 1876, because at that time, that's right before the end of Reconstruction. Reconstruction showed black people achieving. They showed them, we had almost 17 brothers on the House of Representatives. We had mayors, doctors, lawyers. We had proven that we could live well. And then, so when they had the election of 1876, which was the Rutherford B. Hayes election for president, that's when the North sold out the black people. They got rid of the Union soldiers, which were protecting black people in the South, gave them back their land, gave them the land. The North got the presidency. The South got back their land, and they gave them reparations for the slaves that they lost. And they also, which led to bringing with them, creating Jim Crow laws and kicking black people out. All those brothers that were representatives, all kicked out. Everything
mm-hmm.
changed. Everything went back. Every time we had made progress, it was kicked back, which is the reason why You cannot discuss history, because if you open any one of those doors, I don't care, like opening, like you, like seeing a mansion of a house, and you pick mm-hmm. one window, that wind is going to blow all that one. If you open it up, that wind is going to get into the house, and it's going to fill it up. Don't matter which way, which end you want to say. You want to open up the back door, you want to open up the front door, or you want to go and start. It doesn't matter where you start.
I get what you're saying. The breeze is going to travel through. That's true.
Right. And you're not going to be able to so, you know, which is the reason why, even though Biden is doing what he's doing, and then you had DeSantis who's saying, hey, slaves were happy slaves. It's like, wait a minute, bruh. How are you going to connect the two? If they were so happy and we was doing so well, why do you need to lynch us? Why do we have to create anti-lynching laws? Why did we need the 14th Amendment? Why did we need the 13th Amendment? You created amendments for black people, because white people were mm-hmm. savages. They kept doing things to black people. Even when we had segregation, mm-hmm. they wouldn't leave us alone. They would not allow black people to live. They took they probably at least 20 million acres of land from black mm-hmm. people. That's not. I'm just. That's a number. I can't tell you it's an exact number, but I can tell you anywhere from 12 to 20 million acres of land was seized by black people, was taken from black people, and a lot of it was done with eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
Eminent domain.
But here's the thing, though. But here's the thing, and I want you to continue. I appreciate what you're sharing with the listeners and everything, because the thing is, it still goes on. I had a relative mm-hmm. who had her property taken by eminent domain, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she contacted me and told me what was going on. But the sad part, there was a black person involved in the whole thing that they were doing to her property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was a black man involved.
I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt, you know, because you still got to look at, we've created this thing of capitalism. And when you create capitalism, we make everything on the nature of money. Everything is you know, it has a money connotation to it in anything
Correct.
That we do. If it was, you know, someone says, let's help the poor. Oh, look what you're doing. You're taking from so-and-so. You know, you say, well, or if you say to them, we have a homeless problem. Well, that homeless problem was created. The homeless problem just didn't come out of nowhere. It wasn't like, you know, a magic wand was there. That homeless problem was created. And so now you have homeless problems. You say, oh, our schools aren't doing well. There's a problem. That was also created, because you're taking and you're exploiting the poor. You exploited black people. Now you say, oh, we have an immigrant problem. Well, guess what? That's because we love cheap labor, and you don't want to pay the American worker. The hell if you do. We were a 40% producing country at one time, and now we're only 80%. You got pissed because you sent the job to China, but that wasn't to help the American people. That was to help corporations.
Corporations, exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting that you said that, because I just saw just earlier this week, and I'm not going to say verbatim, but I just saw that if you want to rent an apartment, okay, an apartment by yourself in Georgia or in Atlanta, it's going to run somewhere from $1,400 to $1,500 by yourself. Now think about I'm sorry.
My rent just went up to $1,585, and that's in California.
Okay, but I'm
saying
here in Georgia,
because it's
different.
Georgia, that's pretty expensive.
It's different. It's different because the thing is that where, of course, you know, different locations, regions pay different type of amount. I would think that even the same company that has stores or whatever and all that, you know, have different pay rates, it's not equal across the board. It's not.
Right.
Okay.
No, it's not.
So that's where it needs to change. So the things that were, yeah, it's more expensive to live in California than it is to live in Georgia. But the pay rate is different in Georgia. Back to what I was saying is that where what I saw was where, you know, to actually have a one-bedroom, not a two-bedroom apartment, decent one, you're going to pay about $1,400 by yourself.
Yeah. Two-bedroom and 1,700.
I'm almost done. But now you got these programs or you got these, not programs, but you basically have these companies like PadSplit. Oh, now you can split a pad with somebody else, you know. And still, and again, it's not cheap. You follow me? So as companies keep hiring or trying to hire employees, and I've seen where a lot of employees will come in, which are a lot of young folks, don't like the program, don't like the setup, and quit. So companies are not able to keep employees, right? They always boast about, oh, yeah, we just hired 5,000 folks. No, you did that during the time of the holiday season. But you don't keep folks. And they're not full-time jobs. They're part-time jobs, seasonal jobs. You follow me? So you're bullshitting me by saying that the economy is getting better, which it might be for that season. Just for that season, it's not saying that folks are actually comfortable getting a good pay, you know, able to invest or able to, you know, pay their bills and this and the other. It's just for that season. You follow my point here? I think there's a lot of false information put out there about the economy and the job market. It's not realistic, you know what I mean? Because I know a lot of folks who do work 2-3 jobs. You shouldn't have to be in a situation of where you only spend 8 hours a day in your own house, but the rest of that day you're struggling. What sense does that make?
Well,
yes, 8 hours. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, Michael, I don't know. I don't feel the same way that you feel. And a lot of it, I guess, is because the position I had at the time when I was working. But I worked hard to get that extra money, though. I know there's a difference in the pay scale from a white woman to a white man to a black woman to a Hispanic to an Asian. They got a pay scale different for everybody. And if you don't work hard and bust your behind to get more, you're not getting it. Just to sit there and just plug away, you're not getting it. I had to work real hard to get that extra money.
I understand that. But would you agree or disagree that most individuals today, okay, most individuals today get up in the morning, go to work. Now, they might have one job. But let's say the one that has to do two jobs, and I know a lot of them who do. They get up in the morning, go to that first job, go to that second job, they come home. They don't have time to do anything. All they can do is go to bed and get a little bit of rest to get up and go to that first job again. So you have no time in your home.
Right. I'm almost done.
Because you have to put into the equation of being in a traffic jam and all that type of stuff, okay? And it varies from family to family, individual to individual, okay? I have to say that. But you are buying a home or you're renting a place and you don't spend no time other than getting your rest just to get up and go and fight to survive and make a paycheck. Am I right or wrong?
Well, the type of work I did, I did enough for like 5 people. When I left, they had to put 5 people in the place of what I was doing because of all the different programs I was juggling. and it wasn't fair to me, but it was only me and one other black person in my department, and we were working. Mm-hmm. They were, when they said working like a government mule, it was a government mule.
But Janet, you're talking about a while back, right? Because you're retired now. I get that. You know, you're retired now, and as I know, you're pretty much blessed, and you own your own property, you own your own house, you're doing fairly well. I'm saying right now, what was going on? Because like what was said, you know, we could talk about what DeSantos is doing, changing the curriculum in the schools of where, you know, black history, it's not a history. It's like where, as you said, oh, well, black folks really, you know, they really did well during slavery. What a fucking thing.
And he don't
want
to take ownership for it now.
But mm-hmm. that's a major insult. That's a major insult. And as I always said, see, here's the thing. Is that where many things were created by black folks, many inventions created by slaves, because it's just like even now, a manager can say, hey, look, you got all this stuff over here, make it disappear. Well, where do you want me to put it? I don't care. Just make it disappear. Same thing happened back in slavery. Get the job done. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with the consequences. And that's how so many, in my opinion now, so many things were created. And then when they created it, that it was stolen from them. And these companies, the white owners or the slave masters, went ahead and said, oh, wow, that's great. And that's how come you see a lot of stuff out there under these name brands that is not by the person who actually created it. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. An alcohol, a beverage, 150 years you lied for 150 years, and you finally said, yeah, it was a black man who created that mash that made us billionaires for 150 years. Imagine how many other products out there. And we know many of them. Who got the patent on this? Who got the patent on that? Who really created it? And I think the fear is that where the history of where those inventions came from, and that the fact those patents or those inventions were stolen and other individuals patented and their families have become, you know, rich. I think that's the fear, that the truth will come out. Simon, you agree or disagree? I mean, anybody. I think that's the fear that we're seeing now with some individuals who want to change the curriculum about black history in schools.
Well, that's what I just said, Mike. That's why I used the analogy of the house. That if you open Pandora's box, all I have to do is start with one story of our history. Where do you want to start? I can start in the 1870s. You know, you want to go 1600s when it was created, 1660 when white and black were created, or we can start in the 1900s. Any part of our history in the United States from 1600s. All the way to 1968, you do not want to know American history, because if you do, it is not going to look pretty. And that's the reason why they don't want you to know the truth. The truth would have set you free, and we could have moved on if you did not. But see, if I acknowledge the truth, okay, they can't handle that, because then they have to answer to their children, and they don't want to answer to their children. They would rather lie. They would rather
dismiss
it or bury it, mm-hmm. because it would the fathers, not even that, not the fathers would have to answer to the bullshit. They would have to answer, bruh, to to everything that went down. They would have to answer the picture.
Who would they answer to, though? But be honest with you, who would they would be
What's
answering
that?
To?
Who they would have they be to answer to their children. They would have to, Mike, they have to answer to their children.
They
yeah, because
they do
but
have
can
children
to know. But you can brainwash kids because, brainwashing
think,
is very...
Right.
Until they find
guess
out
what?
Things on their own.
But Mike,
can I just
if
read
I
one
to,
little thing that Biden
oh,
said?
Go ahead,
he said, go ahead. At a time when there are those who seek to ban books and bury history, we're making clear, crystal clear, Biden said, we can't just choose to learn what we want to know. We should know everything, good, the bad, the truth, and who we are as a nation. That's what great nations do. You can't hide history because it's going to keep rearing its little head up. And I know as a school, in high school, when we had debates with the kids in the suburbs, they were acting crazy because they were like, wow, they were acting like we were monkeys or something. And then when they realized we were just like them, they were questioning their parents on what they had told them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, kids will ask the question.
But you know, Janet, the thing is, they don't even have to. They're going to go to school, and when they say to their parents, "Hey, mom, did you know this happened on such and such?" or "Hey, mom, did you know this happened?" and they're going, "Where'd you learn that at?" "I learned it at school," because the parents don't know. Okay.
You said they learned it at school, but they're trying to remove Black history from schools. So they're not going to learn
it
from school.
I'm saying, Mike, what they're going to try to do is make it sound good for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
want
their kids to feel like they don't want, because the parent, well, mom, why did they lynch? Okay, give you one question. Kid comes home, white kid. Mom, did you know they lynched 5,000 Black people in our city? What?
That's a hypothetical, right? But go ahead. But you're on point.
Right.
I follow you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they got to go home. And then they said, did you know, hey, in this town, you know, such and such happened? Or did you know that during Black Wall Street in such and such town that they killed 300 to 400 Black people, that white people bombed them and lynched them and burned them and all the stuff here.
And who's having this conversation, though? To be honest, who's having this conversation? Is this a Black kid going home to their mom or
white kid?
No,
this is a white kid going home
kid.
Having to share with his mom or dad.
Okay.
What happened? I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that dude's going to sit back and go, this is what they're teaching. And see, because he can't answer the question. One, he didn't know the history. Two, his parents probably made sure that he didn't know the history. But guess what? If the dad don't believe it, or the dad gets upset, well, if the kid turns around and asks his daddy questions about this, and he said, well, Dad, why would white people do this to Black people? What did they do that Black people blah, blah, blah? And
okay,
they can't
but here's
answer
the problem
it.
I have. But here's the problem that I have. Because you're saying a hypothetical, okay? But see, you got to go back to the fact. This is the reason why, because the possibility of a white kid knowing that is really null and void. It doesn't
no,
exist.
No, Mike, I'm saying if he learned it at school. I said if he learned it at school and then he went home and shared it with what he learned.
Okay, yeah,
everybody
right,
does
okay,
that.
Okay, so now, right. But I'm saying, timing, I really doubt that will happen because that's why they don't want them to hear it. They don't
but
want
like,
them
you
to
can't say,
home
oh,
and
you
say,
can't say that all white folks don't do it because...
I said it happened with me. It happened with me in high school during debates. That's what I just said. They were surprised, thinking that we were the one way, but they found out it wasn't like true. And they did question their parents, some of them.
But you're talking about, but Janet, again, I'm going to say this. I understand what you both are saying, but the only thing I'm trying to make you realize what I'm thinking is that where this is the reason why they don't want this type of, you know,
no, because they don't want them to know the truth.
They don't want this.
That's what, but Mike, that's what we're telling you. We're telling you that they don't want to discuss it.
Let me finish. Let me finish. I'm saying the same thing that you're saying. Is that where this is why they want to remove the, let me finish. This is why they want to change the curriculum, right? Common sense. So that no white kid would have that information to go home and ask mama and daddy. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You said you didn't think that that was hypothetical, that it wasn't happening.
No, hold on. You both just said, because if that was happening, that is a hypothetical situation. But if they do what they want to do, which DeSantis is trying to do, is remove Black history or the curriculum and change it up, no white kid would go home and ask those questions to their parents.
How do you know that? You don't know that. I got white friends, Mike, and they said that.
I know because it's not going to be taught in the school.
Mike,
that's why they're doing
true.
That.
All of it's not all the same. It's
that's
not all
the same, brother.
Everybody.
No, I'm
going to
say
that.
Okay.
Mike.
All right. So
if
look.
You
look,
go.
Hey,
for,
hold on,
Mike,
hold on,
all I'm
hold on.
Saying
have to,
is, look,
we,
all
we
I'm
have
saying.
To change gears. We have to change gears, you guys. We have to change gears because right now the time is 6:52 p.m. Our guest is going to be joining us shortly. I want to stay on time. I'm pretty sure she's on the board listening. I'm seeing that the board is really full. Chat room is full. No one has hit the number one because we've been talking. But what I want to do is just go ahead and just make this announcement real quick in the political field. All right. And Janet, you know this is what I play every time we talk about the political field. We're going to make this short and sweet, take a quick break, and then introduce our, but here's the theme song for our political brief. Donald Trump has been hit with two more. What? Oh, not again. Are you serious? They charged him two more times? Oh, my God. These are the MAGA folks. Oh my God! They're trying to throw him underneath the bus. What do y'all think about these two new charges?
Well, Donald Trump says he don't care if he's in jail. He's still gonna be president of the United States.
He's still gonna be the president even if he's in jail. That will be
new. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to go ahead and respond, Timmy, because when I read that, I'm like, wait a minute, you're going to be in jail if they get it that far now, okay? And people, remember, these are charges. He has not been convicted of nothing as of yet. The only conviction was for the Trump organization, right? That's it. One of his businesses. And then you look back into the past stuff he did with his daddy and everything.
Well, the charge was Eugene Carroll. He was charged with that.
Yeah,
but as far as the January 6th and all the other things, no, not yet.
The major ones, not yet. Just been, you know, I mean, you know, it's just a thing, you know, he has to deal with. But what do you think about his comment about where he's going to fight this and even after that. But again, Donald Trump is still the front runner. What's your thoughts about that?
Which one are you asking?
I don't want to leave Kendrick Griffin's spine.
Yeah, because you usually say, I'm still talking, I'm still talking. Well, I don't feel like, you know, Donald Trump feels as if he doesn't even have to show up at debates or anything because he's high in the numbers when it comes to favorability. But if they would just stop looking at just one or two networks and look at the whole thing or read articles, they will see he's telling on himself. He doesn't have sense enough to be quiet. So
yeah, but he did
shit
last night.
He did it because he's telling on himself.
He did show up last night to the dinner thing that they had. He did show up last night, and of course, you expect him to defend himself over things. You know, and what gets me is that where even though he's trying to do two things at one time, and you got a question, which is the best? Is it best to defend yourself or is it best to run for office? Is it best to campaign or defend what you're being charged for? That's really difficult. I would think that's really difficult when there's all this stuff that's coming out about him and all these, you know, these audio clips and this and the other of him saying this and, you know, allegedly. Now, I have to say allegedly.
That's why he ran early, Michael. He ran early because he knows that he was guilty. So he figured if he runs, that's his excuse to say they're coming after me because I'm running for president. Nobody runs that early as he came out campaigning, you know.
Okay.
And he's only doing it for a reason. That's why he said he will, if he goes to jail, he'll be president in prison. He still won't be president.
Tommy, what do you think? Is that possible to be a president in prison? I doubt that, but what's your thoughts on that? You're the comedian. You're the one who has great shows and everything. What's your take on a president in prison? How would that work out? Okay.
Is Tommy still there?
I guess. He's still on the board. I don't know if he's tied up. I just want to know what was his take on a president in prison. I do have a lot of microphones open. There's someone else that waved their hand. I was going to see if they're going to respond, but yeah, okay. Mm. I got some other mics that are open. Anybody else want to chime in? Nope. Okay, cool. That's cool. I don't know. First of all, I know that's not going to happen. Okay. It would make no sense. In fact, I doubt it will ever happen that an individual is voted president and goes to prison. No.
Well,
and again,
there's no law saying that he can't run. He cannot. There's no law saying and if they vote him, if they vote for him and they don't rig the election like they always try to do, you know, maybe he will be in jail coming after him.
I don't think America will have a president representing the country that has been convicted over a crime. I just really doubt that will ever happen. If that ever happens, hell, I'll move to another country.
We're gonna have to move because if he gets back in, it's gonna be an autocracy. It's not gonna be a democracy anymore because he said he's not gonna leave once he gets back in.
There's somebody that here. Is it Be Wise? A serpent. I don't understand your call for it, but. Says never say never. It's all theater. Okay. Well, let me tell you this, you guys. I'm not going to say never. I see so many people buying passports, and do you realize now that passports now are behind? When folks are trying to apply for them, there are so, I mean, it's so backed up, you know. And again, like I said, I work where I take photos for passports, and folks are like, wow, it, you know, it's so backed up to get it processed. You come to me for the picture, the paperwork goes through, you know, a whole different situation. So, yeah, people are considering leaving, whether it is for just a vacation, but just preparing for what might happen in this country. Because we really don't know what's going on.
Never let your passport expire. Then you don't have a hard time. Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. So, look, we got to take a quick break, you guys, because we are 1 minute past the 7 o'clock hour. I'm really excited about our new, our special guest joining us. What happened to Tommen? Is he still there? I want to make sure that he go ahead. Because, you know, he normally stays with us for about an hour into the show, and then he's got to go and do what he does. I'm sorry. I'm on the board, you guys, so I truly apologize. There's something, a little issue. I'm trying to correct it real quick. Okay. I don't know why it's doing this. So you guys bear with me. All right. Okay. All right. So we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to the Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
Well, thank you, St. James, and thank you, Cheryl. Okay, so let's go ahead and get prepared for our special guest. You know, a friend of mine told me about this individual, and I was really, you know, I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know, what she's created, her own brand. And, you know, Janet, you know that we've had some great guests on this show, right? We've had everything from lawyers to iconic
doctors.
Music individuals, doctors,
writers,
law enforcement, you know. But you know what I love the most? I love entrepreneurs, people who start their own business and create something, you know. You know, some folks may open up a fast food or have a trailer and serve food, but when you create something, a brand and a different flavor, a different taste, and just something just out of nowhere. But I think it did come through the family. I think she did share that. But I did find out that she's more than just an entrepreneur in her business, but she's also a musician. I didn't know that. So that's one thing that we have in common. But I was really happy and greatly appreciate the fact that she's joining us this evening. So I have to find her on the board. And if she's here, please hit the number one on your phone so I can open up your mic. Okay. And I think I have her here. You know, Jen, I was supposed to recognize her number right away. Really? Okay, so let me take a look here. I think this is her here on the board. So give me a second, and I'm going to open up her mic. All right. So, Janet, did you do your research? I know you saw everything, right? Janet, are you there? Janet?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I was on mute. I was on mute.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right.
Yeah,
all right,
I did the research. I read everything.
Weren't you impressed?
Sure, of course.
Okay. Well, let's welcome her to the show. You guys, please put your hands together for our special guest this evening on the TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Please say hello, Joelle Rico, the CEO.
Hello.
Okay, Addie. Always, thank you. Okay, that's enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Good evening,
Joelle.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. You know, I have to get my studio audience in order there. You know, I told them to clap, but, you know.
They cut her last name off.
Well, I apologize, okay? That's their problem. But anyway, hi, Joelle. Thank you. I know everybody on the board knows who they're listening to. And thank you so much for joining us this Saturday. I am really, really honored. I'm really impressed.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us. If you don't mind, I know a lot of your listeners because I'm looking at the board and there's like a bunch of 205 area codes here on the board, okay? And for you guys who are listening, if you have any questions or comments for our guests, hit the number one. I will open up your mic later on after we get a little bit of information from Joelle. You are the CEO. You are the creator of Royal Tea Brands. But there's a little history behind that. So if you don't mind, please share with the listeners a little bit about yourself and how this all got started.
Okay. Well, first of all, shout out to Birmingham. Everyone who's listening from the 205, glad to have you all on here. Janet, I wanted to say to you my condolences. I don't know who exactly you lost in your family, but, you know, whoever it is, loss is always difficult. And the fact that you're even hosting today, with that being so recent, shout out to you.
Thank you.
Michael, she's very devoted to you, obviously, so...
Oh, yeah, she's been with me. I always do that because she's been with the, you know, when I was with the TM, I'm sorry, when I was with the J. King Network, I invited her on with the J. King Network, invited me to be the host of one of their shows. Well, it was Maestro Mike Live, and then it was The Cool Critics, where I became the host of that show, right? But that's a different topic. We'll talk about that on another date. You go ahead and tell us what we need to know about you.
Okay. So, yes, my name is Joelle Regal. And like you said, actually, long before tea became a thing for me, I was a singer, songwriter, instrumentalist, artist. That's been a part of my life since I was a kid, honestly. And the way I got into the tea business was really, it goes back to my mom because she, growing up, she was, she cooked. She always cooked. We didn't eat out a whole lot. I grew up on home-cooked meals and homemade tea. When we were having a big meal, she would always make our sweet tea, and she would brew it on the stove in a pot. And so that was just the norm for me. That was all I knew. If I wanted sweet tea, I would make it. And as I got older, I guess, with everything else, I would just start making it myself. And I had my own little way of doing it because, you know, you grow up on what your mom makes or your parents make, and you just eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You just drink it, you know, because that's just what they made. But when I got old enough to make it myself, it was just little things I wanted to do to kind of make it my own and make it taste exactly the way that I wanted it to taste. And when I started doing that, basically people started asking me to make it for them, including herself. She would have me to make it for her fishing group on Saturdays. So that was the beginning of me realizing that it was something that people wanted, was just family members and friends asking me to make it for their various functions and bring it to the family cookouts and stuff like that.
Awesome.
I don't know
awesome.
How much of the story you want me to go into right now, but
Well, I have a whole hour, and in fact, I mean, I can add more time, but go ahead and share more if you don't mind, because like I said, your hometown is tuned in and they're listening. I'll ask you this. So basically, you were trying to perfect something. You took what your mom taught you, but as you just said, you decided, hey, you know, I want to do something a little bit different. So at what point did you do something different? And then you started doing it for family and friends and everything. At what point did you say, hey, you know what, I could probably market this?
You know, I think it was the point where I started adding my own spin to it was when I would be making, let's just say, just cooking dinner just on a regular, I don't know, Sunday or something like that. And just true to form, just knowing it was what my mom did, I would also make sweet tea to go along with the dinner. And I realized, you know, at that point where I can do it the way that I would want to do it or make it taste exactly the way that I would want to have it taste. And so, I mean, this was years ago. This was probably when I was maybe in my early to mid-20s or something like that. The wow. way it became a thing where, and I'm not going to say how old I am now, but let's just say it was years ago. The way that it became a thing where I realized it could be marketable was really it was my daughter who brought that to fruition, who gave me that idea mm-hmm. because at the time she was like maybe around 7 or 8, and she's 12 now. She was like 7 or 8 years old, and my sister-in-law had me to make some tea for her company's potluck. Her job was having a potluck, and she wanted me to make some tea for that. And when I brought the tea to her job, she gave me like $5 for it or something like that. And I wasn't charging anybody for it, especially family. I was like, no, you asked for some tea, I made you some tea. And she insisted that she paid me for it. And so when I went home that day to tell my daughter, I was like, can you believe Allison paid me for this tea? And she was like, what? People paying you for it?
$5?
My daughter.
$5?
It was $5.
No, hold on a minute now. She gave you $5. How much tea did you make, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it was 1 gallon. It was 1 gallon.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it was just 1 gallon.
And it was quick, huh?
Hey, I appreciated that $5, too, you know, because I wasn't getting anything for it. So I wasn't expecting it. So, yeah, I didn't take that $5 lightly. And obviously, neither did my daughter, because she was like, well, if people don't start paying you for it, we need to come up with a name. And mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, I'm not trying to make this a thing, you know. But just to entertain her, we sat there and brainstormed and tried to come up with names. And she was the one that actually came up with the name Royalty, because our last name is Regal. And Regal means mm-hmm. royalty. And so we decided to spell it a little different instead of with the T-Y, with the T-E-A, to kind of tie the T into it. And I, mm-hmm. I have a vision board in my bedroom. I still do to this day. And I was like, okay, well, you know, who knows? Maybe this might come, you know, become a thing. And she's like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so big. You're going to be so famous for your tea and all this kind of stuff. And at the time, I'm performing and doing music, and I had an album out. So in my mind, I'm like, girl, be famous for this music, not for this tea, you know. but that's what her vision was. And so I just put it on my vision board, and I didn't think anything else of it, nothing else of it. And it wasn't until 4 years later, in 2020, it was like toward the end of 2020, the year of the pandemic, and I was making lemonade at home. Because that's something else that I always did, made my own lemonade. And I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and he heard that I was making lemonade in the background. He was like, you make lemonade from real lemons? Like, you don't use the bottled juice? And I was like, no, I never use bottled juice. We don't even buy bottled juice. If I need lemon juice, I'm going to buy lemons. And he was like, well, lemonade is my favorite drink. And so he asked me if I could make him some, because I don't think he had ever had, like, fresh-squeezed lemonade before or something like that. And so I made him his own little carafe of it, and he took it home. And he called me later that day and said that he gave it to his little brother, who was, like, 12 or 13 at the time. He said he took one sip of that lemonade and said, man, she need to sell this. And so that kind of brought royalty back into my mind. I hadn't thought nothing else of. And I'm like, tea and lemonade kind of go hand in hand, especially here in the South. And if I make good tea and I make good lemonade, you know, maybe I should actually really do something with this.
Right.
And so I ended up talking to my brother's, she's an ex-girlfriend now, but she's still very much so a part of our family. And I reached out to her, mm-hmm. and I was like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about going on and making this tea a thing, you know, but I wanted to talk to her about forming the LLC. She's an attorney. And she was like, well, before you invest any money into forming LLCs or buying equipment or anything like that, let's first see if what you have actually can stand up to what's already popular on the market. I think you should have some blind taste tests. And so I did. I had blind taste tests. I had these little strips of paper that I wrote out with, like, where people could rate what they were drinking from 0 to 5, and they didn't know what they were drinking. And I bought mm-hmm. the popular brands on the market, and for every blind taste test I did, I mean, mine was just blowing the others out the water. Every last one of them.
Now, hold on. Can you name a couple of the other brands that you had on that? Because I know that mm-hmm. Milo's tea, which a lot of people don't know, and I found that to be interesting here in Georgia, is that where Milo's is a very popular tea brand in Alabama and Georgia and a few other areas here, right? But Milo's also has a hamburger chain, right, that's known in the Birmingham area or the Alabama area, right? But they're not here in Georgia. Yeah. And I asked folks here, I'm like, do you realize that because I have to say this. People buy the Milo's tea. I see them on my job, and I'm like, do you realize they do have a hamburger chain? No, I never knew that, right? And my experience with Milo's was really interesting because when I came over to Birmingham, I went to a Milo's restaurant, burger, and I said, yeah, let me have a cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato. They said, we don't have lettuce or tomato. I'm like, well, you guys ran out and said, we don't serve that. I'm like, what? You know, that blew me away. I'd never heard of a hamburger chain that just has a burger with a sauce, pickles, and cheese. That's it. But their tea brand is very popular in Alabama, right? But you mm-hmm. starting your own thing, and you're competing with them, and they are in stores in the Birmingham area and here in Atlanta. I found that very interesting. Okay, and we'll get to that whole part about your product being inside stores. But was Milo's one of the brands that you had on that taste test? Can you tell, you know, just say yes or no?
Yeah, of course. I had to have Milo's on there because, they, like you said, they're the most popular tea brand in the South. They're nationwide, and I don't know how popular they are in other parts of the country, but, you know, and kudos to them, you know. That's inspirational to me. I plan to get there one day, but so I had to have them on there. And mm-hmm. just speaking the facts, you know, based on these blind taste tests, mine was beating out the other brands that
wow.
were on the roster. And so because of that, I remember the last group of people that I did the blind taste test on was right before Christmas. It was like the week before Christmas of 2020. And they enjoyed it so much that they asked if they could purchase, like, it was like 6 or 8 gallons from me before Christmas. They wanted to have it for Christmas. And so that mm-hmm. was, like, the first, like, real, like, actual order that I had gotten of my tea. And after that happened, my brother's girlfriend was like, okay, I think – this is it. Like, we don't need to do no more blind taste tests. Let's go ahead and get this ball rolling because it was just a no-brainer. And so in February of 2021, Royalty LLC was born.
Okay. Wow. I'm just so amazed because things that were, you know, you and I have talked and everything. And I'm just been so excited to talk to you because to me, you're an entrepreneur. You started a brand. And as I said before, you know, I love having a conversation with a person who start their own business, start their own journey. And you've done that. Now, if you don't mind, I want to let some folks ask you a few questions before I ask my questions. Because, see, normally when I do it, they say, well, Michael, you ask all the questions we want to ask. So I'm going to let them ask, okay, first.
Okay.
Interesting. I want to go to my co-host, Chen Davis, first. And for all of you that are here that are listening to the show, all you have to do is hit the number one. I'll open up your mic, and you can speak with our special guest, ask your questions or have your comments. You know, it's real simple. Janet, what's your question for?
Yeah, it's a joy just to have you on the show listening to how you started with your entrepreneurship of Pete. And I read your the things that was on your site. And it talked about the king, the queen. I need to know a little bit about that. Is it the heir, the heir? Is that like
yes,
an heir. Arnold Palmer or something? What is that?
Yes, it's the tea and lemonade mix. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah,
and did you sell that, your tea in Georgia, in Atlanta?
No,
not
it's
yet.
Not in Georgia right now. It's only in Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Looking
but the name.
To
thank you. The name came about because, so by the brand name being Royalty, it was the Arnold Palmer mix that caused me to come up with the names in general because I didn't want to call it an Arnold Palmer, and I'm
thank
also
you.
A writer, and so. Yeah, I just didn't want my brand associated with that. You know, I don't know who that guy is,
yeah.
You know. And
hey,
I,
look, that's common sense. Right. That's common sense. Yeah, but go ahead.
By me being a writer, I just wanted to come up with a unique way to name and label these flavors other than just sweet tea and just lemonade and just Arnold Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how King, Queen, and Heir came about because I'm like, well, it already has the royal theme to it. Is there a way
mm-hmm.
that I can put royal names to these flavors? And so King just made sense for the sweet tea because that was the benchmark item of the whole brand is sweet tea. And then Queen for the lemonade, which
right.
to me just also made sense. And Heir, which, you know, a king and queen come together, they produce an heir. And so
yay.
King and queen came together and made the mix,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So it just
and
worked.
When I looked at your site and I looked at the, you know, the breakdown, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Of how you thought it out first. You know what I'm saying? That was just really amazing to me. You know, the king is going to be the tea itself. And then, you know, then the queen and then the heir. The way you broke this down, you know, and then even on the bottle it says, shake well. Okay. I like that. I like how you put that right there in front. You put instructions there, you know. Shake well.
Well, thank you.
You know,
the reason why I had to put the shake well on there is because everything has real lemon juice in it. The tea has a smidge of fresh juice lemons in it, and of course the lemonade is freshly squeezed lemons, and so you have little remnants of pulp in there, and that tends
right.
to settle. And so I always want people to shake it just to make sure they're getting the fullness of the flavor. And just to go back to the, right. And just to go back to the names, another reason why I thought it would be, I guess, a good way to approach the brand is because, in my opinion, you know, I mean, obviously I'm black. My family's black.
No,
I've grown
really?
Up.
I would not have known that. I would not have known that unless you told me. But I didn't know that. But go ahead. You're black. Okay.
Yes. Proud to be. You know.
I think we all know that. So go ahead and see that.
And so one of the things that I wanted to do with the brand was make it more than just about tea and lemonade and make it more than just about beverages. And we always hear how, you know, black people, we come from royalty. You know, we didn't start as slaves. That's not where our history began. It began
exactly.
further back than that. And our history is rich with royalty within these tribes. And so I wanted to find a way to connect that to, right, I wanted to find a way to connect that to modern day black African American people. And I think one of the ways that we exhibit royalty in this day and age is by how we adorn ourselves. We are very expressive people. We're very elaborate in how we dress, how we wear our hair. Nothing about us is minimal. We like to be very big and bold and expressive. You know, jewelry, the gold teeth. I have a grill, my own dear self, you know, that I wear from time to time. And so to me, a way that I can tie, you know, us being kings and queens into our modern day knowledge of what that is was by giving it these names. So, you know, that's what we refer to each other as, you know, hey, king, hey, queen, but make it modern, make it make sense for us now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other ways that I'm going to bring that out in the branding as time moves further along. There are some things that some ideas of how I want to bring that out, but this is going to be way bigger than just tea and lemonade.
Well, Queen, I have to tell you this, is that I'm looking at a bunch of people from Birmingham, Alabama, that are on the board. I've already invited them to go ahead and give a shout-out. I think they're kind of nervous of being on the radio. So I'll say this again. Hit the number one. I'll open up your mic. I'll see your hand waving. Give some respect to this queen here. She's representing the B-Ham. So give respect to this queen here. And if you have any questions or comments, please share them as we have in this conversation. Now, you're in a few stores there in Birmingham, and you're working towards having your product shared, you know, of course, nationwide would be great. But, you know, it's a process, right? So
yes, it is.
What is it? What is it, or as you already shared about how you got into some of the stores, how did you get into those stores process for you now? And then also, you were telling me that to make the process go faster in order to get the orders now for more of your product, are you concentrating more on getting the product in the stores or online orders at this point? Because I think online would be great. But let me know what you think is the best.
Initially, I was selling online. Before I got into stores, I was vending and selling online. It was local. The thing is, for me, the stores is actually way simpler and easier than online, because when it gets to online, things have to be delivered or they have to be shipped. And
correct.
Shipping gallons of tea and lemonade is not an easy feat. And it can be expensive. And on top of that, the fact that I have a product that has to remain refrigerated, there are no preservatives. It's all natural. And so it just creates this whole other layer of getting it
correct.
To people. And so once I got into my first store, I held on to online sales for a little while longer, but I eventually let it go because it was just too much to try to manage, both getting the store stocked as well as making sure I can get people their orders, because when people order online and it's being delivered to them, that could be an everyday thing, you know, where I'm delivering to somebody multiple times a day or every day, and it just to me, it just kind of didn't make sense anymore once I was in an actual store where people can just go and pick it up whenever they like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I eliminated that. But when it comes to moving abroad, again, for me, it's going to be more about distribution as far mm-hmm. as, like, actually traveling it to these various places versus shipping it. Which, I mean, it's just going to be more cost-effective in everything in the long run to just put it on a refrigerated truck versus shipping it in refrigerated packages. So that's going to always be my goal.
So the thing is that we're – okay, so you are definitely a hands-on individual. You actually work with the brewing. You have a staff, I guess, I'm assuming. I'm sure you're not doing it by yourself. You know, how much product are you able to produce in a certain period of time in order for you to do it? You know, because you have a niche, right? You basically have a niche mm-hmm. now, and fortunately, you're able to get into a major grocery chain there in Birmingham. What are you working on as far as getting more mass production? And see, that's where people kind of leery in a sense. Well, maybe leery is not the word. When you're looking at mass producing possibly in order to get it into other stores, you're looking at the shipping and everything, and like there's companies who have refrigerated trucks. What are you working on at this point in time to get your product out beyond Birmingham to maybe neighboring states? Because, see, there's like a major hamburger chain that everybody, I'm sure, has heard of called In-N-Out Burger. They will not go further east than, I think, Texas, because they want to use the same companies that they get their beef from and this and that. You know what I'm saying, or what I'm trying to say? They haven't expanded so far. How far do you look at expanding, and what are you trying to do as far as getting your product into other stores, not just in your area, but also in neighboring states?
Before I answer that, let me go back because it kind of ties into the first question you asked me before you asked me about the shipping and everything was the store that I'm in now and how I got into it. So Piggly Wiggly is the chain that I'm in right now. And shout out to Piggly Wiggly. You asked how was I able to make that happen. Well, Piggly Wiggly is very big on having local vendors in their stores. That's just a part of their business model, is to not just have large corporations. They have a set amount of real estate within the grocery store to allow for local vendors to sell their products. And so Piggly Wiggly is just open like that, where they'll give you a chance. If you have a viable product and you have your ducks in a row, then they will give you a chance. And so that's how I was able to get into Piggly Wiggly. Was I just simply, the connects were made, and I had a meeting with them, actually a couple of meetings. They tasted my product, loved it, and it just, they set a start date. Now, they actually wanted to start me in 3 of their stores right from the very beginning, but I was the one who opted to start with 1 and only to add on 1 at a time from the very beginning, because I wasn't sure exactly what I was really getting into. I had never done retail. I didn't know anything about the grocery store industry, as well as how large my purchase orders would be for them, and so I chose to start with 1 store and then add another store and then add another store. And so as a result of that, what I learned was, okay, this is how much they're going to sell in a week at this store and whatever the next store. And this is how much I'm going to have to produce in order to make sure these stores stay stocked every week, because they don't like holes on their sales. They don't like gaps. They don't like for things to not be restocked. And so
no retail store. Right.
Yeah. And so what that has shown me now, so now I'm in 2 stores. I'm in Piggly Wiggly Claremont, that's on the south side off of Claremont Avenue, and I'm in Piggly Wiggly Bernie Points, which is in West End. And once I hit those two stores, it was like, okay, the way that I've been making my product since day one was by hand in these large 6-gallon containers that I use. Brewing is still in pots on a stove, and that has worked up until I got into the second store. In order for me to grow beyond the second store, I'm going to have to get away from this very much so hands-on, handmade process. I'm going to have to move into machinery. And so that right there has been like that, and water has been the largest two obstacles when it comes to growing beyond the two stores, because I don't use tap water. I use bottled spring water in order to make my product, and it's being made by hand. And you ask me if I'm doing it all by myself. You know what? Honestly, Michael, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I have help, sometimes I don't. And so when I don't have help, the show still goes on, you know. And so I feel like everything that I've done up to this point has prepared me for being able to skyrocket beyond the two stores, because there are things that have come up that made me thankful, like thanking God I wasn't in more than two stores, fires I need to put out, issues that came up that need to be addressed, mistakes that have been made, where if I would have been in more stores, it probably would have caused me to crash and burn, but it was I was able to manage it easier. And so what I'm working on now is having a my own space, because that's another issue, is when you're working out of a commissary like I am, it's very limited space. And the equipment that I would need in order to get into mass production, I cannot have in a shared kitchen. And so I have to have my own space, and in order to house the magnitude of the equipment that I would need. And then once I have that, then the only thing that's going to be standing between me and distributing it beyond Birmingham is simply going to be just freight, just simply having the wheels, the transportation to get it from point A to point B, which can be, I think we talked about this the other day, it could be a matter of me having my own truck or it being put on the trucks of somebody else that's already going to wherever that place is. And there's even the option of me getting into Piggly Wiggly's warehouse. Once I'm in a certain amount of their stores, then they'll put my product in their warehouse, and then their trucks will get it out to the other Piggly Wiggly's. And so I have a lot of options. And I'm in a position where people are wanting, where it's like they're waiting on me. They're waiting on me to give the green light and say, okay, now I can move into these other stores. It's just, but I want to make sure I'm in the proper position for me to do that and handle the demand that's going to come along with that, so that I don't grow too big or get too big for my britches, as they say, and then I can't keep up, and then I have to set up, you know, close down shop.
Right.
So
you're on point. No, you're on point. You definitely are thinking that. I mean, you're really thinking this through, right? Because, like, you know, when you and I talked the other day, you know, there's a lot of distribution companies that distribute product from one state to another, right? If you look and you see certain companies that pull up, you know, on the outside of a independent, let's say, restaurant, right? They got that set up to where they get a delivery, and it might be coming from somewhere else, right? And that company might be delivering to many stores in a different state, okay, depending on what the distribution house is, you know. And so then once you make that connection of where, hey, look, my product is going to be here, I need you to drive it across state line. You know what I mean? I'm sure that's how it works. I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to say I am, but I know there's a way, and that's what goes on to a certain extent, because, you know, something on demand, you're going to find a way to get it there. And individuals who invest are going to find a way to get it there. When it comes to your you growing it and being able to make it available. Hold on a minute. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the board, and I see someone waving their hand here. Let me go ahead and open up their mic real quick before I finish elaborating. 205-422, I think I know who this is. In fact, I think they told me they tasted good tea. So, hello, is this Myrtle?
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for calling
good.
In after almost a year of listening to the show and never calling in, but thank you. I'm just joking with you.
Whatever.
But I think you just before at an event in Birmingham. Can you share that interaction?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to let you know I did try your tea, and it was good. I was with the girl who was selling the jewelry at that event that Gwen had put on.
Oh,
but,
at Legion Field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tell you,
I
really enjoyed it. And actually, I meant to tell my friend Rhonda that you were going to be on the line because she was talking about she was going to go out and purchase some. We were just, you came up in conversation, and I told her, you know, that you were going to be on the radio, and I forgot to remind her. So that was my fault.
That's okay. Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate her as well.
Yeah, because she bought a lot. Like, yeah, that it's really good. It's a good product. Michael asked me about it. I gave you 4 thumbs up, and I only have 2 on me. So,
oh, thank you. That means you just got your big toes involved. That's all. You
okay,
just,
it was
2 thumbs and 2 big toes. I'll take it.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it was great. I was just trying to call in before I go into this swim party. So.
Oh, well, have fun. Be safe.
Oh, yeah, I'm have fun. They 50, though. It's gonna be, they old people, though. Yeah.
They old people.
You did. Okay. Whatever, all right. Michael. All right, you guys have a
great day. But thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. We have another person who's the number one. Most definitely. I have another 205. See, your hometown is chiming in. 205-478 is tuning in. Let me go ahead and open up their mic. Hey, you already know where you're calling from, but you have a question or comment for our guest?
Hey, Mr. Michael Gay. This is Gwen. This is
Gwen.
And I was just wondering. Hey.
Hey, Gwen.
I just wanted to have Myrtle was on the line. I was trying to get before she went on, but I hadn't heard from her either, Michael. So, you know, get at her too. But anyway, I just want to say I'm just listening in, Joelle. Listen to your show, Mike. I listen to your show all the time. And he's a great show, great host. And Janice, all y'all guys are great. But
thank you.
You're welcome. I just wanted to say to Joelle and about just her spirit. You know, she has the most beautiful spirit, Michael. I mean, it's just like when I tell my story, and I know this is probably, I tell my story about when I first had about her tea. I told her that it was a police officer that was in Piggly Wiggly, and I was going, it was one night, it was getting ready to close, and I was in there. He was like, I looked at the tea, and I said, what's that? He said, it's some new tea. I was like, really? He was like, yeah. He said, try it. I said, well, I'm just going to get a small one. And he said, I bet you by the time you get to your car, you're going to wish you had got that big one back there. Because he said, it is delicious. So I was like, I said, okay. I said, well, we'll see. He said, I said, we'll bet on that. I said, so when I come back in, because even the worker there was that he was like, if you don't like it, he said, I'll pay for it for you. He said, but I promise you're going to come back. I got to my car, and I opened it, and I tasted it. And I was like, oh, my God, they closed. I need to go get some more. I went back the next day, and I promise you, I told Joelle, I said, my family, I take it to all the family gatherings, my cousin. She just put on the other day that she didn't see, and she was like, she went to look for some lemonade, and they didn't have it on the shelf. I was like, girl, I said, let me tell her about that. But like I said, the way her tea is and the way it is and the way her brand is and the way she is that that's because of the way she is. And I know, and I met her mom, and you can tell, you know, that's a beautiful family. Her mom, and her mom is just as sweet as she can be. And, I mean, you know, she just bubbly and just to, you know, to be around.
Right.
Because, you know, I said, the very first time I met her over, we inboxed each other, but I went to an event that she was hosting. She might tell you about that. She was hosting these other entrepreneurs, and she was hosting it down at the Birmingham Public Library. And I was sitting there that day, and I kept saying, I noticed her shoes, and I was talking about her shoes and the outfit that she had on, and we were just talking. And all of a sudden, I was like, so which one? She said, royalty. I'm like, so I am. She's like, Gwen. I'm like, it's just been like, it's been like an open door.
Right.
But she's just a beautiful person. And I just, you know, just thank her for, you know, just even friending me.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is that, I want to share this heartfelt. Go ahead, Joelle. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to say she was saying for befriending her, but Gwen, you make it extremely difficult to not befriend you. Who wouldn't want to befriend you? Because everything that you're saying about me is exactly how I feel about you. We were just kindred spirits that were just meant to link up because you have such a sweet spirit and go so hard for people that you believe in. And I mean, I feel blessed to literally have you in my corner. I feel blessed to know you. So thank you. I just want to throw that out there.
You know what? I feel the same way because it was Gwen who brought you to my attention. So Gwen, I truly appreciate you to introduce me to our guests today. So you guys, just let you know that Miss Gwen here, she has really been supportive of the show, and this conversation would not be going on if it wasn't for her. So thank you, Gwen, for introducing our guests. As I said, though, there's more about you than just your tea company. You're a musician. You're a singer. You're a guitarist. You play instruments, correct?
Yes.
And you perform. Can you share a little bit about that, about yourself? You probably didn't want to, but I'm going to ask.
Well, no, it's not that I didn't want to at all. I always say writing and music were my first love from a very, very early age. I started out singing in choirs and in elementary school as early as like first grade, second grade, is when I started kind of being recognized by my teachers and by my mom for my writing abilities. And so at some point along the way, it just hit me that why hadn't I ever put music and writing together? Played instruments my whole life and wrote my whole life, but I didn't become a songwriter until after college. Because it just, for some reason, it just never hit me. And so I've been doing, I probably since like 2012, was when I first started performing out as a singer-songwriter, and I'm so thankful that it happened the way that it did, whereas the music came first and then royalty, because the following that I amassed through music and performing here in other states is what I think contributed to the fast success of royalty. People already knew me for my music, so then it was like, okay, well, now I have this tea. And so people were interested just because they were already interested in me for my music and everything. And so that's one of the things that I actually tell people. Like Gwen said, I have an event that I do quarterly called Casual Consultations, where I have a panel of entrepreneurs and I have a keynote speaker. And it's free, open to the public, for people to learn about different industries and things like that. And one of the things that I've said there is you can have a million ideas and they can all be great ideas, but I think the best thing for an entrepreneur to do is take it one idea at a time, focus on that one idea, get it going, grow it, make it fruitful, and then allow that to feed into the next one. And that's what happened with my music and royalty without me even intentionally doing that. The music fed into royalty, and it just worked. And so the music is always going to be there. That's always going to be my heart and soul, is writing songs and music and sharing it. I even have a royalty song now.
Okay, so you have something new out, and so we're almost at the top of the hour.
I can go a few minutes past the hour. We have 10 minutes left, but I can do what I want to do on this. But fortunately, to go a little bit over time. But I'm just saying that, well, first and foremost, I want you to share how people can find your site and read up more about you, your product, your brand, and also your music, because once you shared that, I looked you up and I was like, wow, I didn't know that. All I knew was just a T, but I didn't know that you were a writer of songs, you're performing everything. Can you share that information, how we can find you on the internet?
Sure. So my website for Royalty is royaltybrands.com, royaltebrands. And it's the same with social media, Facebook, Royalty Brands, Instagram, Royalty Brands. And my music is available on all streaming and downloading platforms. You just type in my name, Joelle Regal. That's Joelle, two L's, no E on the end, and Regal, as in royalty, not the Buick. So don't get it twisted. And it is available on YouTube. I have music videos. I recently just released a song called Royalty, and it's like a single / jingle for Royalty, my beverages, and I also have a music video for that as well on YouTube. Joelle Regal on Facebook. I did have a Joelle Regal on Instagram. I had that page, but I deactivated it for a while because I wanted to kind of switch up how I go about. I wanted to kind of change how I did things on there. So, but Joelle Regal is available on Facebook and YouTube. And yeah, I have an album out. It's called May the Words of My Hands Dance. And it's a small collection of what I call what I do a fusion of folk, soul, and hip hop. It's a blend of those three genres, if you will.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I had already said, that you saw that in the text, that where I'm going to come over to Birmingham in the not too distant future, probably within the next month or so. I would love to all of us. All you and a few other folks that I've met and have been on the show from Birmingham, we all go out for a lunch or a dinner or something, you know, because you're right next door, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to doing that, and hopefully that you'll be able to attend, okay?
Sure, I would love that. Awesome.
Yeah, and then I'm going to talk to you about
probably is Janice going to come down from New York?
Well, Janice in Atlanta. She's from Rochester,
New
York.
Yes,
no,
I'm from Rochester, New York.
Yeah,
but I've been down here for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And then,
okay, cool.
Yeah, and Time and Ship is in California. And there's quite a few folks that have been co-hosts and that chime in from time to time from different places on the show. So I don't know if they'll be able to make it, but we'll see what we can do. But yeah, can I finish this part? I'm looking at possibly coming up with a new jingle so for the show. So I'd like to talk to you about that. Okay, go ahead, Janet.
Okay.
I could tell you were a writer because of the way you describe your teas make you want to just go and just gobble them up, you know. So I have a granddaughter that lives in Alabama. I'm going to have her bring me some tea from Birmingham. Yeah. And you said, is that the Piggly Wiggly?
Yes, ma'am. Piggly Wiggly on Claremont Avenue and Piggly Wiggly in West End on Burning Point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let her
Tuscaloosa
know.
Avenue. I think it's Tuscaloosa Avenue, right?
Yep, Tuscaloosa Avenue.
Okay. Yeah, see, the reason why I know that, because I have friends in Birmingham, and I talked to one earlier this morning. We've been playing phone tag, and they finally got in touch with me, and I told them that you're going to be on the show, and I see them listening. And I told them about you. They said, man, that's down the street from me. I'm going to have to check that out. What's the name again? So you might get an uptick in sales soon. You know, so look forward to that.
Well, that's always a good thing.
Exactly. Any final questions or comments from anyone? I see some folks are here on the board. I have their mics open. If you have any final questions or comments for our guests, please go ahead and do so. We have 5 more minutes left. 301-919, I see you there. You can go ahead and hit the number 1 if you have a question or comment. But thank you for tuning in. There's another 205 here. I think that's – hold on a minute. Gwen, are you there?
I am. I just want to say – I might have hit the number 1 again. I just want to say that even all the awesome things that Joelle has said about her, and it's just – I guess it wouldn't – I wouldn't say is small, but it's a big thing too, that y'all can go to Long Lewis' Facebook page. If y'all on Facebook, go to Long Lewis' Facebook page, and you'll see that she was the June hero for the month. And also, if Nightlife Outlaws, if they're looking, they're July hero, Long Lewis heroes of the month. And I want to say, and I'm saying this, I don't know y'all to hurry up, the reason that I say that both of them are so special, and it just like brings so much joy to people, because when Joelle won, and it's by votes in life, and when she won in June, Nightlife Outlaws, their CEO, he just came on and he was like, congratulations. He was like, hey, 100, you're doing it. And I was like, my dad was, that right there touched me so much, because he's a young man doing this, and he have, you know, young people father behind him, his mom, his dad. And I'm like, I said, you can tell that he was raised like that. And he'll, I said, both of their spirits together, you know. And I'm like, June, July, I was like, you know. And I just want y'all to just look at that too, that both of them for June and July, they're Long Lewis heroes. And they, you know, this is what Long Lewis does, this thing, and they grant them money for being, you know, doing it, giving back to the community, so they give back to them. So I just let y'all just look at that and just know some things of how awesome they are in Birmingham. We have some awesome people in Birmingham, and Joelle Regalty and Nightlife Outlaws, you know, they just some, you know, an African-American people are doing something, you know, it's besides killing each other, you know. Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's
right.
The only thing
and,
I hate to like.
And we do have a representative for Nightlife Outlaws. Their mic is still open. Are you still there? Nightlife Outlaw, are you still there? Okay. They were still on the board. I see them there. They probably got themselves on mute, so hit the number 1. Unmute yourself. Okay. So we're looking at Nightlife Outlaws to pay us a visit next week and share about their about what they do, and that would be awesome. So I guess we're pretty much putting the spotlight on Alabama this month, or towards the end of the month. And so I appreciate it. Joelle, is there something else you would like to share with us in parting before we end the show that you want to share to all the listeners? First and foremost, I want to say thank you so much for coming on. It's an inspiration. It's great hearing your story and your journey of what you're doing with your product, your brand. Getting to know you is awesome. So thank you so much. What is your final words for us to hear?
Well, thank you again for having me. I always am humbled by these opportunities because, you know, to me, I just do what's on my heart for me to do. If I feel led to do something, I do it, and I don't really look for any recognition or trophies for it. I just move forward, and so to have moments to stop and pause and be acknowledged like this is really just the cherry on top. It, like Long Lewis and winning that that accomplishment, it's just been really, really humbling for me. So thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about my brand and my story. And I also want to – I have to shout out my family because even though, you know, there are days where sometimes I may not always have help, sometimes I am kind of just making it do what it do, my family is – they have been the biggest supporters out of everyone.
Amen.
And everyone can't say that. I've come across so many people whose family, they have a dream, they have a vision, and they're just, you know, they're having to prove to their family that it's worth
Correct.
It. And I didn't have to do that with my family. I never had to prove anything to them, from my music to royalty, they have always, always, always been in my corner. And I'm talking about my sister and her husband in Georgia to hear, they, it doesn't matter. There have been times where they've come from Covington, Georgia to bring me empty gallon jugs because the store that I would get them from here will be out of them. And they will take a day off work just to do that for me. So, and my mom, who is literally my biggest cheerleader ever, and really is the reason why I even would have the notion to make homemade sweet tea. You know, I would not be here and royalty would not be the success it is if it were not for her and if it were not for them, for my family. So I just have to acknowledge them and put them on a pedestal and give them their flowers because they are the backbone that keeps me going and has rooted for me and supported me since day one in every endeavor and every dream I've ever had. So I just want to give them a shout out on here and use the platform to let them know how much I appreciate them.
Oh, most definitely, and that's very much appreciated. I thank you for saying that because the thing is that where I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been doing this radio thing for how long, Janet? Over 10 years from one network to another. You know, I went independent, started my own. It comes out of my own pocket. But the gift that I get is having individuals like yourself, you know, to come on and share, you know, because there's a lot of negatives out there, but there's a lot of positive stories out there and a lot of positive people like yourself that is actually investing into yourself. You know what I mean? And I mean, Janet, what we've had young folks on here, you know, sharing their stories, what they go through and, you know,
that's
being
right.
a teenager. You know, we've done all that, and we're going to continue to do that, and that's why we call ourselves The Variety Show, because we're not just all about politics. We're not just about, you know, music. We're about everything that is something that can, you know, inspire individuals, learn about certain things. So you're an inspiration, and for all of you that are listening, not just for you ones who called in to the show, all of you that are listening through Blog Talk Radio, yes, this network is broadcast worldwide. There are people who listen to this show and many shows on Blog Talk Radio throughout the world. And hopefully you got something from it, and hopefully it inspired you. This young lady right here, I mean, I'm just really more than impressed. I'm just like, wow, this is great. Not just a entrepreneur, but a musician, a writer, and she's just continued to move forward with her journey. And this is her journey, you know. So, and you and we all have a journey. So, with that being said, thank you again so much. Share one more time how they can get in touch with you, because that's the way I like to end the show, to share the information of our guests.
So yes, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, it's Royalty Brands, and Joelle Regal. My website, royaltybrands.com. My email address, royaltybrands@gmail.com. And yeah, my business number on here now that I have a business line. At first I was giving people my personal number and I had to learn the hard way. I need to stop doing that.
Right.
Now I have a business line, so anybody can have that. It's 205-582-3098. And so if you want to get in touch with me, whether it's, you know, an event that you may, I should have mentioned this earlier, that I do bulk orders. So even though I don't do online orders for individuals anymore, I do do bulk orders. So if you need bulk orders or if you need anything for an event or, you know, sponsorship, things like that, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me, and we will make it do what it do. Thank you so much again, you guys, for having me on.
Okay. And you know what? I'm going to talk to you about the bulk orders because I would like to share that information, and I'll probably even put in a bulk order just for that reason so I can share it to other individuals that are having events. You guys, please put your hands together and thank to our guests, Joelle, Regal. Here we go. Yes.
That applause track just sounds so real and authentic. I love it.
Okay, Thank you, Eddie.
Keep it going. I almost want to break out into a bow when I hear that. It sounds so real.
Well, you can go ahead. We can't see it, but we can know that you did it. But that's cool. All right, you guys. Hey, make sure you tune in every Saturday to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I want to thank my co-host, Janet Davis. The one and only Mr. Time and Ship. A couple of co-hosts you haven't heard in a minute because some of them are no longer the show, but some are still, but they're so busy, like the one and only Miss Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of Sky. Sky is touring, y'all. They're everywhere. They're overseas. Sky, you know, here's to you and Start of a Romance. Also, what else? Another hit song was Call Me. So Denise hasn't been able to join us in a minute because they're on the road. And that's a great thing to see these legendary artists booking and selling out events, not just in the U.S., but overseas. So we look forward to them coming back and joining us. As I said, we do have another show coming up that's going to feature, let's see, do I still have Gwen here? Gwen, are you there? Unmute yourself.
I am.
We're going to do a Alabama weekend, two weekends in a row, right?
Yeah. All right.
Well, isn't it? And so you go ahead and let everybody know who's going to be on next Saturday. Give us a little
information. Well, next Saturday, we're going to have Nightlife Outlaws. It's a foundation, like I said, with a very young entrepreneur like Joelle. He's 25 years old, and, you know, he started his foundation and doing great things, you know. I just like the way that he's showing young males and females on things, working on cars and just showing them, you know, day-to-life things, you know, and I just like that about him. So, you know, like, just keep on letting them keep on doing what they're doing, being great.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Joel.
Fantastic. And you know what? There used to be automotive shop back in high school, right? I don't think they have that anymore in schools. I haven't heard about it. But you saying that that's what they do is teaching folks how to, you know, do certain things that you don't see in school anymore. You know, some of the simplest trades are not in high schools anymore. So I guess that will be a great conversation and do our research, Janet, of what schools, I mean, are some of these curriculums still available? And if not, why not? You know, if not, why not? You know, I know some friends of mine that work in different trades, and trade school is a good thing to look at instead of just college, because cars got to be fixed. As hot as it is out there, you need a HVAC guy to fix your air conditioner or heater, right? And these are really lucrative positions. I know a person who owns their own company, and they're doing very well. Right now, I'm pretty sure he's getting paid a good amount of money for phone calls of where the AC went out, especially at this time of the summer, making good money, you know. So, yeah, that would be a great conversation
of automotive, you know, fixing cars and stuff like that, and even more. So thank you, Gwen. I appreciate that, okay?
Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. Thank you, Joelle and Janice. Have a good one. And my condolences to you and your family, Janice.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay. So we're going to get on out of here, you guys. Thank you again for a great conversation here on the show. You know, we always have something to say. We get really deep, and but then we have to kind of like change up. There were some other topics we didn't get to, but don't worry. We're going to get back at it. This is your variety show. It's the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time, here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, or you can call in at 516-531-9861. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Again, I want to go ahead and play this opening and closing cut. And I already said to Joelle, I'm looking at probably having a new theme song, and her and I will talk about it because I think it would be awesome. I think it would be awesome. But this is from Mr. Joe Foxworth, former member of the group Ozone on the Motown label, and it's called The Conversation Piece. And that's what we do. God bless. Good night.